not a sprain or an itch.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining. Carmen and I have, over the past several years, talked about diabetes multiple times, but I think it merits another go-around on the Hey Doc show. First of all, diabetes affects more than 100 million American adults. However, the number of people who know they have the disease is far lower.
Diabetes is really not just one disease, but can be divided into three main types: type 1, type 2, and gestational diabetes.
It can be considered a disease that involves problems with the hormone insulin. Normally, the pancreas releases insulin to help your body store and use the sugar and fat from the foods that you eat.
Diabetes can occur when the pancreas produces very little or no insulin, or when the body does not respond appropriately to insulin.
And we'll try to get to all of those by the end of the show. But right now, we really want to try to explain why and how diabetes occurs and what you can do to prevent its symptoms and the long-term effects.
So, our story has to start with blood sugar. The body must maintain a certain level of sugar in the blood. This should be around 100, usually considered 80 to 110 units.
If that level remains above the level for long periods of time, then we have to consider high blood sugar or diabetes. Notice that I said that the level must remain elevated for a long period of time. The reason I say this is that it's normal for the blood sugar to rise after a heavy sugar or carbohydrate meal. It's important to remember that the other food groups, those being fats and proteins, will eventually break down into different types of sugars, and finally to glucose, which is the type of sugar that your body uses. Your body uses the sugars as fuel or nourishment for all of your cells.
We are going to discuss three different organs in your body, and we will start with the liver that weighs just about 3.5 pounds.
Take your left hand and place it over the right side of your abdomen, just below the rib cage. This is the area that the liver resides in your body. To get a better idea of the size, think of an American football. You know, the ball that our Jaguars can't seem to get into the end zone enough times.
The pancreas is a much smaller organ that lies on the left side of the body, just below the stomach.
Both of these organs together help to control the blood sugar level in your body.
The liver controls your blood sugar when you are not eating, while the pancreas is involved in maintaining the blood sugar level during digestion.
Among the other functions, which include digestive enzymes that help in the digestive process, the pancreas has cells which are called islet of Langerhans cells, and these create the hormone called insulin.
The function of this insulin is to help with the transportation of the sugar from the bloodstream into the cells, effectively lowering that amount of sugar in the blood.
Without insulin, the body really has no way to move the blood sugar out of the blood and into the cells where it's used as fuel.
Think of insulin as being the conductor of a train filled with passengers.
It's the conductor that opens the doors at the station, allowing the passengers to get off the train.
Without the conductor, the passengers are stuck on the train, just as insulin is stuck in the bloodstream if there is not enough good insulin to allow the sugar to exit the bloodstream.
So you chew your food, drink your liquids, and this all goes into your stomach. Later, as the food gets digested and converted into sugars, they all enter the bloodstream.
The glucose travels around the body in the bloodstream. Without insulin, the sugar cannot get out. They are stuck in the bloodstream, and the blood glucose level increases.
When you're not eating, there also is a need to keep the glucose levels fairly constant in the cells and in the bloodstream. Here is where the liver comes into play. It produces a hormone called IGF, or insulin-like growth factor. The name is not important. However, the hormone is important in the scheme of things. IGF is a protein similar in molecular structure to insulin, and it plays an important role in childhood growth and continues to have anabolic effects in adults.
What this means is that it is used in body processes to build proteins from smaller units. The classic anabolic hormones are the anabolic steroid, which stimulate protein synthesis and muscle growth, and insulin.
So where does the IGF get the sugars from? It gets them from the muscles in the body and the liver itself from stored sugar.
And stored sugar has a name. It is called glycogen. It also gets it from fat, which we have not mentioned yet.
That is basically the purpose of fat. That is to act as a storage form of glucose while you're not eating.
So the liver takes this fat and converts it into glucose and puts it back into the bloodstream.
The body does this in a fairly regular order. First, it takes the sugars from the stored source in the liver and then from the fat stores.
In fact, it appears that the body does not like to burn fat and it tries its hardest to use the other sources.
So let's get back to our model. We have eaten a meal. The insulin level increases and gets more glucose from the bloodstream into the cells where it's needed. This creates energy. This energy can be used, for example, in activities such as when you're exercising, or it can instead be stored as sugar in your liver and in your muscles. Now, this is good because it is stored as sugar and it is not being converted into fat. So what is needed to help in the process of storing sugar rather than creating fat?
First of all, the body needs potassium. It happens that for every molecule of sugar, you need one molecule of potassium.
So with low levels of potassium, the body simply can't store the sugar. So the body begins to crave sugar because it cannot store the sugar without the potassium.
When your body craves sugar, what do you normally do? You go out and eat sugar.
What they really need is potassium in order to store the sugar. We need about 4,700 milligrams of potassium daily for this particular purpose. Can you guess how many bananas that would be?
Well, since most bananas contain about 400 milligrams of potassium, each we would need just about 12 bananas a day.
A better way of getting that potassium is to eat a minimum of 7 cups of vegetables a day. So if you don't have enough potassium and you have sugar coming in out of the bloodstream, then it can only be going into fat.
Up to this point, you have learned what happens after you eat sugar, and there is a spike of insulin from the pancreas. Now let's get back to diabetes. Generally, it is a disease where your body can no longer regulate the sugar in the cells and therefore in the bloodstream.
You could say that diabetes type 2 is a liver problem, while type 1 is a pancreatic problem.
If you had diabetes type 2, you may be taking or had taken in the past a medication called Glucophage, which you may know under its brand name of Metformin.
What it does is make the cells of the liver more receptive to insulin. There are around 200,000 receptors in the liver for insulin for every liver cell that you have. What this boils down to is that diabetes type 2 is due to insulin resistance. So Glucophage makes these less resistant, and the liver takes up more of the blood sugar.
Type 1 diabetes is not a liver, but a pancreas problem. It is a chronic problem where the pancreatic cells that normally make insulin are either not making insulin at all, making very little insulin, or making defective insulin. The pancreatic cells become exhausted.
So since the sugar is still being taken in and produced and goes into the bloodstream and is unable to get out of the bloodstream for lack of insulin, the blood sugar levels go higher and higher.
In this case, Glucophage does not often work at all, since the Glucophage, as we just said, only makes the liver cells less resistant to insulin, but there is no insulin being produced in type 1 diabetes.
Apparently, our bodies were not designed to consume and metabolize 149 pounds of sugar yearly. Even baby food has high fructose corn syrup in it.
We talked about IGF or insulin-like growth factor just a moment ago, and you probably have never heard of it. Yet there is 100 times more IGF in the body than insulin as far as work done.
If you look at a book, you'll see that insulin is measured in micromoles, while IGF is measured in nanograms. It's kind of confusing. It's also kind of like saying, which would you rather have gifted to you, 100 pounds of chicken feathers or just a half ounce of gold?
That would be pretty much a no-brainer. The half ounce of gold is worth a lot more than 100 pounds of chicken feathers.
So improving liver function in the body could help quite a bit in diabetics. So when you damage the liver by consuming too much alcohol or too much processed cooked food or even not enough vegetables, there's a problem.
Every decade that you get older, growth hormone is decreased and this GH controls IGF. Growth hormones does help control blood sugars. One of these things that growth hormones does is protect your proteins from breaking down into sugars.
Exercise is good. We're talking short, small workout periods, maybe a workout period of 30 seconds and resting 3 minutes.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just 2 blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care.
Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show.
You may not like hearing this, but you really need 7 to 8 hours of sleep a day to keep an ideal level of growth hormone working in your body.
For many, kale is a four-letter word. It's a boring, tasteless vegetable. Well, maybe. But it is also a liver-protective vegetable that is low in sugar. One of the big questions is whether you can tell if you have diabetes in the pre-diabetic stage or even earlier. There is often a period, which we call pre-diabetes, which is marked by higher than normal blood sugars.
The CDC notes that this condition often leads to full-blown type 2 diabetes within 5 years if it's left untreated through diet and lifestyle modifications.
Very often, a physician will give the diagnosis of type 2 diabetes when the level of hemoglobin A1C is at least 7 on 2 separate occasions. I have to mention this as a top priority test in the diagnosis of diabetes of all types. The A1C test reflects your average blood sugar level for the past 2 to 3 months. It measures what percentage of your hemoglobin, that's the protein portion of your red blood cells that carry oxygen, is coated with sugar.
The higher your A1C level, the poorer your blood sugar control, and the higher your risk of diabetes complications.
It's not only done to identify pre-diabetes and diagnose type 1 and type 2 diabetes, but it's also used to monitor your diabetes treatment plan.
The results of your initial A1C tests also help establish your baseline A1C level. The A1C test is then repeated on a regular basis to monitor your diabetes treatment plan.
The earlier that it is diagnosed, the better, since diabetes, especially undiagnosed and untreated diabetes, can lead to potentially serious issues. For example, symptoms of diabetes can include neuropathy, that's nerve damage, vision problems, and an increased risk of heart disease.
Another test that may be performed is a fasting blood glucose test, which is a test done after a night of fasting.
While a fasting blood sugar level of less than 100 milligrams per deciliter is normal, one that is between 100 to 125 signals possibly pre-diabetes, and a reading that reaches 126 on 2 separate occasions may mean you actually have diabetes. People with full-blown type 2 diabetes are not able to use the hormone insulin properly. And that's, as we've said before, is what's called insulin resistance.
Remember that insulin is necessary for glucose or sugar to get from your blood into your cells to be used for energy.
When there's not enough insulin, or even when the hormones don't function as they should, then glucose accumulates in the blood instead of being used by the cells. One key symptom is having frequent urination. When there is excess glucose present in the blood, the kidneys react by flushing it out of the blood and into the urine.
This results in more urine production and the need to urinate more frequently, as well as an increased risk of urinary tract infections in both men and women.
As a matter of fact, people with type 2 diabetes are twice as likely to get a urinary tract infection as people without the disease, and the risk is higher in women than in men. So if you notice you have to go to the bathroom more often than you used to, including perhaps needing to get up every couple of hours during the night to urinate, you seem to be producing more urine when you do go, talk to your doctor about whether you could have type 2 diabetes.
Another symptom also related to fluid is increased thirst or a dry mouth. These two could signal diabetes.
High blood glucose leads to increased production of urine and the need to urinate more often. Frequent urination causes you to lose a lot of fluid and become dehydrated. Dehydration makes you feel thirsty and have a dry mouth.
Just like our previous symptoms of urinating more often, if you notice that you are drinking more than usual or that your mouth often feels dry and you feel thirsty more often, this could be signs of diabetes.
Uncontrolled diabetes could trigger unexpected weight loss, especially if it is uncontrolled.
One thing can lead to another. If you are urinating more frequently because of uncontrolled diabetes, you may also lose more calories and water, resulting in weight loss.
When you have type 2 diabetes, your cells don't get enough glucose, which may cause you to lose weight. Not only may you be more thirsty, but you could also be hungrier than usual. We talked about insulin resistance in the first part of the show. Well, insulin resistance means that your body cannot use insulin properly to help glucose get into the cells.
So in people with type 2 diabetes, insulin doesn't work well in muscle, fat, and other tissues. So your pancreas, the organ that makes insulin, starts to put out a lot more of it to try and compensate.
That results in high insulin levels in the body, which sends signals to the brain that your body is hungry. Any foot pain and numbness could be a sign of diabetic neuropathy.
In diabetes, your cells get bathed in excess sugar. Over time, a prolonged exposure to high blood sugar can damage the nerves throughout the body.
This is exactly what diabetic neuropathy is. Some people may not have any symptoms of the damage, while others may notice numbness, tingling, or pain in the extremities. Initially, diabetic neuropathy is most common in the feet, and then over time works its way up the body.
In some studies, almost 50% of unexplained peripheral neuropathy in the arms and legs, whether painful or not, turns out to be caused by prediabetes or diabetes.
Another symptom seen in women is the fact that frequent infections and feminine health issues could mean diabetes. Both yeast and bacteria multiply more quickly when blood sugar levels are elevated. Women with diabetes are overall at a higher risk of feminine health issues, such as bacterial infections, yeast infections, and vaginal thrush, especially when blood sugar isn't well controlled. And a lack of awareness about having prediabetes or diabetes can make managing blood sugar simply impossible.
In men and women, food infections are also a common symptom because the disease can damage the architecture of the food, including the skin, blood vessels, and nerves.
Visual problems, especially blurred vision, could be the result of rapid blood sugar changes. Your body has a lens in each eye to focus your vision. It's controlled by muscles that change its shape in order to focus the eye. In a high sugar environment, such as with uncontrolled type 2 diabetes, the lens's ability to bend is altered. Although the lens is not damaged, the muscles of the eye have to work harder in order to focus.
Blurred vision occurs when there are rapid changes in blood sugar, from low to high or high to low, and the eye muscles have not yet adapted to it. Einhorn says blurred vision is one of the early warning signs of type 2 diabetes. The body later adapts to the sugar levels, and your vision will go back to normal.
Over the years, three diabetes treatments with entirely new modes of action have been approved. The first is exenatide, and that's an injection. It's also called Byetta. This is for people with type 2 diabetes. The second is pramlintide, and it also is an injection, and it's called Simlin. It's used as an add-on to insulin therapy for people with both type 1 or type 2 diabetes.
And finally, there is sitagliptin, or Januvia, which is also used for people with type 2 diabetes.
Remember that new doesn't always mean better. We just have more medicines in our arsenal of treatments for diabetes.
Some diabetes medications help the pancreas release more insulin, but only if you have type 2 diabetes. Other help cells use insulin better, and other keep the liver from releasing too much glucose.
The three new treatments focus action on hormones called incretins. The two given by injection, remember those? Byetta and Simlin, they have an added bonus of promoting weight loss.
We said there were three new medications. But there really are more, and these include Victoza, Viduron, Tradjenta, and Onglyza.
You may have noted that virtually all of these medicines are used in the treatment of type 2 diabetes. We really have very little for those with type 1 diabetes. After all, the cells that produce insulin are no longer able to produce the needed insulin to control the blood sugars.
Well, there is a new type 1 diabetes therapy which shows true promise for long-term reversal in both humans and dogs.
In summary, it involves a collagen formulation mixed with pancreatic cells. It's the first minimally invasive therapy to successfully reverse type 1 diabetes within 24 hours and maintain insulin independence for at least 90 days.
Collagen is a protein that the body already makes for building muscles, bones, skin, and blood vessels.
A collagen formulation mixed with pancreatic cells has been developed by Purdue University researchers. And again, it's the first minimally invasive therapy to successfully reverse type 1 diabetes.
What is needed is a new set of pancreatic cells to replace the clusters of cells called islets that aren't releasing insulin to monitor blood glucose levels.
Up to this point, research and clinical trials have not produced any effective islet transplantation therapy for three reasons. First, multiple donors are needed.
Second, the current method of delivering islet through the portal vein of the liver is too invasive. And finally, the human immune system tends to destroy a large percentage of transplanted islets.
But the Purdue researchers changed how the islets were packaged. They did this by first creating a solution containing collagen, and second, as an injection through the skin, instead of all the way at the liver. And this saves patients from a nasty procedure. Up to this point, it was difficult to transplant islet cells in the liver of the animal under the skin, mainly because the skin doesn't have the blood flow that the liver has for transporting insulin released by islets, and because there are a lot of immune cells in the skin, so chances of rejection are high.
What the researchers did was to remove the need for transplanting in the liver by thoroughly mixing mouse islet cells with the collagen solution.
Upon injection just under the skin, the solution solidifies, and the body recognizes the collagen and supplies it with blood flow to exchange insulin and glucose. Now, because it is minimally invasive, you don't have to go to the operating room and have this infusion into the portal vein. But at this point, the procedure is delegated for future treatment. Now, diabetics must follow the treatment plans, including the newer medications.
So we leave you with this final suggestion. If you are diabetic, try to avoid sugar-sweetened beverages, trans fats, white bread, pasta and rice, fruit-flavored yogurt, sweetened breakfast cereal, flavored coffee, drinks. Remember, most of these contain lots of sugar, honey, agave, nectar, and maple syrup, and dry fruit.
Also, remember that carbs have the greatest effect on your blood sugar by far compared to fats and proteins. This is because they are broken down into sugar or glucose and absorbed into your bloodstream more rapidly. The carbs include starches, sugar, and fiber. However, fiber isn't digested and absorbed by your body in the same way other carbs are, so it simply doesn't raise your blood sugar.
Subtracting fiber from the total carb in a food will give you its digestible or net carb content.
For instance, if a cup of mixed vegetables contains 10 grams of carb and 4 grams of fiber, its net carb count is just 6 grams. Now that's going to help you get the best foods when you look at food labels. I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend recommends medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. These now include amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cancer, Crohn's disease, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, seizure disorders, chronic muscle spasms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, a terminal condition, as well as other ailments and conditions, including certain diseases with chronic or long-term pain. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We've also set up a website for our Medical Marijuana Society at www.medmarsoc.com. That's www.medmarsoc.com. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com, where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. You can also set up an appointment for an office visit to Southside Medical Center right on the website. Again, that website is CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.